If you would join with me, we'll collectively read Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadows of the Almighty. I say unto the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the flowers of snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but He will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you may most fall your dwelling, even the Lord is your refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will sustain life and show my salvation.
Good morning. We actually have two readings today. The first is in Romans chapter 9. Romans 9, starting in verse 20. But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? What if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath, prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory? Even us, whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. As he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And it will happen that in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called sons of the living God. The second reading is in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, also starting in verse 20. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some for ignoble. If a man cleans himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work.
All the children would come up. Good morning. All right. we're told that there are some things that are really of noble purpose and some things that are common, all right? Can anybody tell me what this is? It's a box. Okay. Noble or common? What do we do with boxes? Pack things. Okay. Let me pack things. These boxes I made yesterday, last night. I was up late just for you. I had to make boxes. I'm tired. But the one thing I can tell you honestly is I created this box. I cut it, I nailed it together, and I painted it. Okay. And I did the same for this one. Kind of cut it a little too close on this side. Okay. But I cut it. I gave it its form. I gave it its purpose. I need to put something in it. Okay. Does anybody know what's in this box?
No.
Nope. You know what's in that box? No. Could be anything. Could be a honey badger. But it's not. No honey badger. Okay. This box was made for a purpose. All right. And like you and me and everyone else, we are made for a purpose. And this box holds the purpose to which we are made. I'll pick it up for you. A Bible. Look at that. Yeah. Okay. Well, you've seen a Bible before. Okay. But what's important to understand is God has designed us. God has designed you to hold the Bible. All right. You want to hold it? All right. Take it back. We are designed to be close to God. He designed us for that purpose. And when he spoke and he gave us life, it was so that we would have fellowship with him. Okay? And we're capable of holding God's truth in our own life, right? We memorize the Bible and we can call upon it. She's okay. She's okay. Okay? We can call upon it. We can live our lives by it. And it is what God has called you. That truth does not change, okay? The thing about a box, though, is can I put something else in it? Yeah. Certainly can, okay? What it is a treasure chest, just like you are a treasure chest, that you're able to hold stuff. And so if we go to this one, well, we might find that there are other things that we're capable of holding, okay? And it means that we treasure them. So one of the things, like, I know a lot of people like to treasure is playing video games, right? We like to, you know, and maybe young ones don't, but you older kids, okay? And in fact, that some people, that's all they do their whole life long. They become really good at it, and they never leave home. They just live in a basement, and they play video games. And they die with calluses on their fingers, right? Because they treasure it. They value this. They have replaced and they have placed it into their box, the thing that they treasure most. And it could be anything. It could be toys. And as you get older, it could be relationships. It could be, I bet you there's another one in here that, yes, there's a lot of people. In fact, Jesus even speaks about it, right? Money. Okay. A lot of people replace and they value this, and they put it in their treasure chest, all right? Never seen a pirate go to a church so that he can get the treasure of God's word, right? They always go for the gold, okay? They always go for the treasure full of gold because they value it. They think that's the contentment. And so today, we're going to talk about that God has designed us to hold the treasure. It's part of the way you were designed. In that sense, you are. And so we're going to talk about what kind of box we are. Thank you, sir. Okay. And I'll return it back to where it was placed. Okay. So listen carefully and learn the treasure we are. Now, I know what y'all want. I do not have it. Yeah, I know. Maybe later. We'll have to wait and see. You can go back to your desk or your seat. I'm teaching. No, go ahead. I mean, go. No candy. Go. I think somebody thinks they are designed to hold candy. Would I lie to you? Maybe. That's the problem. That other that pastor guy, he does that occasionally. He has to hold out. Let's see. Let's find out. Oh my, didn't expect this. Fascinating how a servant of the Lord may need to help me. It's fascinating though, when we talk about purpose, in this course I did need this, I built it especially for my shelf, I have a plan for it, but purpose is a critical element of what it means to be human, and it's part of how God designed us. The specifics aren't important, but many of you probably heard about the study that was done, and it was the purpose to determine how important purpose is. And they hired a bunch of the study group hired some individuals, and the first part of the day they dug a hole, and then they came back after lunch and they said, "Now put the dirt back in the hole." And they questioned why they would waste their time doing this, but they were being paid, so they did it. The next day, fewer people returned to the job, even though they were told they would get paid more. And they dug a hole, the same hole, and at the end of the second half of the day, they put the dirt back in. And even less people came, to the point, even though the amount they got paid increased every day, fewer people came. And it proved the point. We are people that need a purpose. I'm not going to just sit around and waste my time digging a hole. I don't care how much you pay me. There's no purpose in it. There's no value to it. I'm not going to do it. And so, in a sense, that's a lot of way of which God has wired us. Purpose is a really important part of our lives. And Scripture speaks to it. And it really gets into what God has designed for us. Now, it's interesting to prepare for this. Fascinating observations we all make. And that perspective affects us how we look. If I look upon this congregation, I have one of two choices. I can look and say, gotta keep my eye on that guy. Definitely watching her. Okay, and we take the perspective of, I'm guessing what's in your box. I'm gonna take a look. Sometimes there's signs. There are things we can do, and the appearance, okay, in that sense, represent yourself. You're part of these boxes, whether you like it or not. You're one or the other. You choose. They look kind of the same. So do we all. But God has designed you as a vessel. Okay. And the wonderful thing about Scripture is, as was read to you, is some are for noble purpose and some are for common. And yet, the question we ask ourselves is, well, what is your purpose? And God has it for you, and it's for you to hold as a vessel. Our status is really important. I'm going to preach on it. Is the element of our lives is far greater than I'm doing explaining it. You're actually, to God's perspective, according to His Word, you're very important. You're very precious. You were part of when He designed the world. He thought of you, and then in time you would come, and in time you'd be a part of this world and. At this point and all the factors into it, for such a time, He thought of you. And this, and he sees you and He looks upon you in an amazing way, something we don't even comprehend and understand because we're clouded by the point of we miss the purpose. If you want to know, I'm going to make it as clear as can be. Scripture speaks very clear of it. You have a purpose, and it's this one. It's to hold God's word in your heart, to be in fellowship with God, and to experience the fullness of Christ. That is it. That is your purpose. Your meaning throughout all your life is that. The problem is, we do manage to add other things into our box. We do manage to make the treasure as a part of us. And in doing so, we compromise it a little bit. It is, it's fascinating when you when we look at this, because I said we could suddenly, as we were talking to study, there are some challenges to it as we move on in life. Salvation is critical to us. We experience the fullness of God, and we celebrate the fact that we're saved through Christ, but then when it comes to living out our lives, we struggle, and we struggle with the things that get intertwined with us. And the power of God, which is in this, makes us that vessel. 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life, godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he granted to us his precious and very great promise, so that through them we may become partakers of the divine nature, having from the corruption that is of this world because of our sinful desires." There's a battle going on in the spiritual realm in that sense, and there is a corruption that can take place. There's nothing new I'm telling you. You should, for the most part, understand that. But these obstacles are a part of it, and ultimately, we realize the personal. Now, this is one thing this congregation has had the joy of being experienced to. Pastor Bruce is really good at explaining this, and as we look at these things, he has his own that he uses, you know, analogies of, and certainly, you know, I think one of the things he's really good at, because he deals with a lot of high schools, is he deals with that romantic relationship of couples. Okay, and he often refers to it because he realizes in his many years of observation, especially for high schoolers, this is an obstacle that prevents many young people from being able to fully have a wonderful relationship with God, is because they're too occupied with a relationship other than with the Lord. And he understands that and he sees that. Now, for some of us, God is blessed, and there's a wonderful marriage, and Christ has fulfilled it. And I can say, not so much of an issue right now for me or somebody else, okay? But unfortunately, there are other things, okay? Here in our world currently, sports is a big thing. And sometimes they let us down, but they occupy. They can take our time quite quickly, and we can treasure the athleticism. We can both idolize those and put ourselves through it. And suddenly it's the importance and significance of it. Not for everyone. For a lot of people, this is not a temptation. They can certainly do without it. But then, certainly for adults, we understand the treasure and how money can affect us and guide us. And that's always there. And Jesus spoke to that too. And related to money, I know a lot of people like to go shopping. Possessions can certainly take hold of us, and we can create those treasures, even though this was not a treasure box in the sense of a pirate, but we do hold objects, but we hold them not in the physical, but far more, closer to our heart. That is certainly possible for all of us. It can be a tripping stone, and yet also addiction, things that can alter you, and this becomes, the sad thing about this is there is a physical attachment that can take place as well. But along with that, that can be healed. There is a spiritual, deeper meaning that can certainly take place. And there are other things that trip us up. And some things aren't necessarily things we consider joyful. In fact, it brings out the worst in us, and it creates an anger. But guess what? It takes place into our box. We put it. And my family will attest to you, nothing kills the spirit more than a tax instruction bag. Brings out the worst in me. If you ever thought well of me, come around my house when this comes out. My family shudders and runs, and rightly so. I'm a pathetic human being. And in the process of trying to figure out whether or not this is deductible or if I'm doing anything right, I lose sense of what God designed me for. I lose sense that I am that precious vessel that God had designed. It's nothing I enjoy, but it took the same spot. And so it's a matter of you personalizing it. It doesn't take you long. You're going to find your tax form, whatever it may be. And that is a part of the struggle we face with. But as God gives us direction and through His Word, it is important that we understand there are ways that we get to what it is. One of the things that I was reading in Miles Stanford's The Green Letters has to do with failures. And oftentimes, to be honest with you, I'd rather you guys not know I stink at taxes. But God uses those moments to bring about His righteousness in us. And it is a matter of us giving up and releasing the things that own us in order for me to become more of the vessel I was meant to be, to hold and place myself in God's value. And so that's really critical to understand how important it is, our negatives, our strengths. Now, the aspect, I guess, is to understand the power of God that is in our lives and how to get to it. And the easy illustrations are there for you. The one thing that is fascinating in Chuck Swindoll's Great Awakening book that he wrote, he referred to an event that took place. And after the Civil War had finished, after the 13th Amendment of the Constitution was law of the land, well after he had announced that slavery was banned, it finally reached all the realms of the United States of America. And for the vast majority of slaves, nothing changed. They continued to live their lives in the manner in which they always did. And in fact, they asked one man, you know, about it, and he says, I know nothing about Abraham Lincoln other than he freed us. And I know nothing about that. And it was a fascinating statement because we couldn't comprehend that today. We would understand if somebody put you into slavery real quick, you would experience it and you would resist it. But living in slavery, to be freed, is entirely a different thing. And so Scripture's promise to you is just that. You have found yourself to be enslaved to whatever binds you, you're that person. God's promise came to you, and He looks upon you, and He actually wonders, how could it be that you would not function in the full measure of the Spirit from God's view? And the reason is, you know about God, and He has freed you, and you know nothing about that. And so the heavenly realms come to us, and so Jesus, even in His words in Matthew, in the process of understanding this, shares that it's our treasures. It's heavenly treasures, is what He said. And in Matthew 6, He says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moths nor rust destroy, thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he'd go on to say, you cannot serve two masters. You'll hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. There is a process of keeping ourselves clean and single purpose intact. And the process is being filled up with the Spirit of truth. God's Word teaches us, guides us in this direction. Our answer lies in the promise of Scripture, a vivid description of our condition is this, and this is really the text if you want to turn to that is critical to this. It's in Colossians chapter 3, starting with the first verse. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I guess the one thing that is critical to all this is I made a box. And in itself, a box isn't precious. This is, I would refer to as the common object. But God doesn't see you just as the aspect of what's inside you is something you understand. But what we have to come to understand is that God has made us noble, and he has a purpose. He has made us objects of beauty, and he has empowered us in a great manner. And the real nice thing is, as he has made you not a wooden box to be filled with my stuff in the basement, but he has made you the fine china. You are of great value. You are to be taken care of. You are put in a place of great importance. And God has designed us to not be by ourselves. A platter by itself is just that, but we are a set. And here is a church. Your beauty joins in the whole table. You are one of many objects that come together. And like if we don't have a soup bowl, we can't have soup. If we don't have you among us, if you're not part of the fellowship, we're out. We're out of luck. We're empty. We don't have a completeness. And you have strength. You have skills, you have gifts to which God has given you. I don't have them all. I can only share what I got. But God has given each of you, young and old alike, something of great value to share with us. And as we share, we set the table that God has prepared for us to set. And collectively, as the church, we understand what it is then to be precious. We understand that we are a setting before the Lord, and he has a purpose for our life. It's righteous. It is of great value. He desires for us to understand the fullness of what we need to become. It's a work that he does in us. And it becomes a beautiful thing when a congregation understands that great value and value. I do say this sincerely. I've never realized how awesome God sees you in that realm. I never realized how powerful it truly is. And I know occasionally I've scratched it myself when I've sought a heavenly treasure. But I do know that I can trust in the promise that what the Lord has said. And as I come collectively, I've been blessed so often by you. And I understand what a precious thing God holds you and how he values you. And when that occurs, when we understand, I see that God's purpose is being done. And Lamb of God is going through this. We're about ready to send some of our treasure off to California. My trust of the Lord is going to replace it in his time and in his purpose. But I also say what a blessing it's been to be at the table with my friends. And it is every Sunday when I come. And I am grateful that God has blessed me in this manner. And I just ask that as this week goes on, you would take ownership of that you're precious. You're of great value. And when we fully embrace the power of which God has, wonderful things will happen. If you'd bow your head and pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the immense blessings that flow from heaven down onto us. I thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us remove any and all distractions, the things that bind us and hold us, the things that keep us from your greatness dwelling in our hearts and through our lives, that we would not diminish, but allow you to move in us that our light would shine. Bless us this day, Lord. May we embrace the truth and gather our heaven and the heavenly treasure into our hearts. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.